Sixth episode. Sabia's grandma. Sabia's grandmother was born before World War II as the youngest of four siblings under the name Marion Brunschlig. As the daughter of a goldsmith and a housewife, she grew up well protected in Weimar with her two brothers and sister. They spent a carefree childhood and lacked nothing. Marion's father Samuel had set up a workshop and shop in the basement of their small terraced house. His customers were diverse, from old to young, from rich to poor, across all religious affiliations. Samuel was born with artistic talent and craftsmanship. His customers were very satisfied with the work he did. Each piece of jewelry was tailored to its wearer. They were unique pieces, small masterpieces, made with a lot of love. Samuel Brunschvig was a sincere, hard-working and simply lovely person. His wife Rina was a kind but strict mother to their four children. She always had an open ear for their small or larger concerns. Marion loved her parents more than anything, she couldn't have asked for anyone better. Her sister Soraya saw it a little differently. She repeatedly rebelled against her parents. Soraya found it very difficult to accept the limits set for her. Her rebellion often led to discussions and arguments, especially between her and her father. But just as quickly as the dispute flared up, peace returned. Soraya had already left her parents' house after her marriage. But before that happened, there was a little drama ahead. Samuel Brunschvig was not a strict believer, but in certain things, such as his choice of husband for his daughters, he was very conservative. His marriage to Rina was also arranged by her father. Before the wedding they had only met once for tea for a good half hour to get to know each other a little. That had to be enough for now, luckily Samuel and Rina liked each other equally. Affection and love had to develop, but they had a lifetime together to do so. That's how it's been intended for generations. Samuel had no intention of breaking this tradition with his two daughters. But he really didn't expect that he would encounter so much resistance from Soraya. He had put so much effort into choosing a good, honorable family. He had found the right future son-in-law in the Engels family. But his eldest daughter was not at all enthusiastic about his choice. After first dating Mark Engels, her future husband, she bluntly told her father that she certainly had no intention of marrying this gnome of a man. She wants to be able to freely decide who she wants to marry. She had long ago fallen in love with a young German from the neighborhood. She would only marry Franz Meyer, nothing else was out of the question. Marion found it admirable how her sister rebelled against all conventions. She herself would never have dared to contradict her father, even though she shared Soraya's opinion. Father's problems with Soraya almost solved themselves. One day Soraya came home in tears, Rina and Marion had the greatest effort to calm her down. Franz Meyer's parents had spoken out and given him an ultimatum. He should break up with this Polish bitch or he could experience something. Franz's father had committed himself to National Socialism and wanted nothing to do with the Polish population in his neighborhood. Alfred Meyer had already had several pieces of jewelry made by Samuel Brunschvig, always to his absolute satisfaction. Since he joined the National Socialist German Workers' Party, he no longer considered hiring a Polish craftsman. And now there was his wayward son, who had gotten involved with this scumbag's daughter. How could his own flesh and blood do this to him? With his behavior, he had cast a bad light on his entire family. There was already whispering behind closed doors. If the rumors were to be believed, Alfred Meyer's son Franz would be drafted in the foreseeable future. They were all heading inexorably towards war. Alfred Meyer had changed in recent years. He used to be an open, tolerant and kind man. But now no one recognized him, he had become radical and saw everything in black and white patterns. It hurt Marion's heart to see her sister suffering so much and not being able to do anything about it. Soraya's rebellious and combative streak had completely dried up. It seemed as if she had given up and resigned herself to her fate. Samuel was happy that his daughter had finally come to her senses. Then everything happened very quickly. Soraya married Mark Engels and left her parents' home. Marion was heartbroken, she had lost her sister, confidant and friend in one fell swoop. She had never had a close relationship with her brothers Kaspar and Simon. There seemed to be no room for other people in the identical twins' lives. They had each other, that was all they needed. Marion would never know what had happened to her brothers after the twins were sent to the scientific studies of a Dr. Joseph Mengele picked up. She only really became aware of what must have happened to her brothers when she herself was deported to the Buchenwald labor and concentration camp. It was one of the largest concentration camps, in which approximately 266,000 people from all parts of Europe were imprisoned. Of these, an estimated 56,000 prisoners did not leave the camp alive. On April 11, 1945, the concentration camp was liberated by the 3rd U.S. Army. Most of the SS henchmen had already left by this point. The cleanup operations and destruction of evidence of the extermination machinery were still in full swing. The sight that greeted the Americans when they marched into the camp made their blood run cold. The world had never seen anything like it before. Buchenwald was just one of many such sights. Marion had survived, but only thanks to her great love, Simon Weisberg. If it weren't for him, she would have simply given up. She had no idea what had happened to her family. Only Simon's unconditional love had kept her from despairing and kept giving her new hope. Marion just wanted a quiet, peaceful life without fear of death. The deportation of his three children broke Samuel Brunschvig's heart. He himself only escaped the Nazis by chance. On the night his sons were picked up, he spent the night with a goldsmith friend. He had lied to his beloved wife Rena for the first time in his life. He had told her that his friend Philip and he wanted to exchange ideas for new, beautiful forgings. It wasn't the first time, and so Rena, Sabia's great-grandmother, didn't suspect anything and let Samuel go. However, she was very worried that he would leave her, even for just one night, during these difficult times. That one night was the saddest night of her life so far, and she had no idea that the Nazis would take Marion away from her shortly afterwards. Samuel presented Philip with the building plans for his large, winding house in Bulwell, the house that Sabia would later take over from her grandmother. The two Poles sensed the great threat posed by the Nazis and planned to secure as much gold and other precious items as possible for their descendants. All their Polish friends should receive the offer to secure their valuables in Bulwell. In total, Samuel and his friend hid 10 million Swiss francs in gold at the value at the time in the basement of Sabia's future home. It was the dark year of 1944, and Marion's parents had never recovered from the loss of their children. They hired 16-year-old, fun-loving Angela Hull as a housekeeper because Rena Brunschvig no longer found the strength to fulfill her duties. So it happened that Angela Hull was cleaning out the basement one evening. Then she heard two men's voices. She knew she was doing wrong, but she just had to listen, so she found out in which corners Samuel and Philip hid their gold. Shortly afterwards, Rena died of the flu, and Samuel followed his wife by biting through a cyanide capsule. The next day, the Allies started their bombing and ended the Second World War. The time of the Adenauer Republic began. Before young Angela Hull left the house in Bulwell to take her life into her own hands, she ran a few last errands in the Nun's Gate. There she met Father Zeno's predecessor, later Father Lucius, whose curiosity she aroused with her radiant beauty. Shortly afterwards, in front of the garden house of the future Elfenberg Care and Retirement Center, there was a little chat between the two then 16-year-olds, Angela and Lucius. Angela Hull innocently revealed her experience in the basement of Sabia's future homes and told young Lucius about the treasure of gold that was hidden there. So it happened that Lucius, in his later role as a priest, had a corridor dug in the existing underground passages, which led directly under Sabia's house and thus to the cellar. At some point he, Lucius, would see this treasure. The corridor, which hardly anyone knew about, seemed safer to him than an ordinary break-in through the front door. After all, he was now a father. However, the gold robbery by the Bulwell Monastery never happened. Father Lucius had to experience something so sad in the rose garden of the neighboring nunnery that from then on earthly material good seemed worthless to him.